Our scripture this morning comes from the book of 1 Samuel. It starts with chapter 15, verse 34, and continues on through chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house in Gibeah. Samuel did not see Saul again until the day of his death, but Samuel grieved over Saul, and the Lord was sorry that he had made Saul king over Israel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, Samuel looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And then Jesse made Shimei pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." And so Jesse sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, we live in this society that does a great job of shortening our attention spans. With the advent of TV and the internet, we have become less and less willing to spend more than a few minutes on a particular topic before moving on to the next. The advertising industry, I think, understands this phenomenon perfectly. Think about how quickly they hit us with their pitch. How long is a typical advertisement on the TV, or even better, when you're flipping through something on the internet? TV ads run 15 to 30 seconds. An ad on the internet might last no more than 10, maybe 30. Over and over again, we are battered with the newest product, how we need to go on a vacation, and exactly where we need to go. The fact that we might need a new house, and there's this wonderful mortgage company that will approve your loan in less than 3 minutes. Think about that. We've all bought, well, several of us have bought homes, I'm sure, and what used to take days is now narrowed down to 3 minutes. That's crazy. We are asked to buy the newest whatever it is. The sleekest new car. The most status-approving, improving items. And it's all done for us within 2 minutes. We have now been trained to look at what's on the very surface. This is what I need. This is what I want. This is what I need to have. This is what they're telling me I should be buying. And we fail to dig deeper, to look beyond that surface, beyond the glam, to see what's underneath. Now, I think another way that that plays out is in labeling. We did a little bit of that with the children's message. Think about all of the different things that get labeled, all of the different names and things that we put on people in particular. We do that and we miss the complexity of what's going on with the people around us. For example, it's Father's Day. Wonderful. Great. I'm going to put the label father on me because I am. I'm a father. Now, what do you think about those things when you hear father? If I have that label on me, first of all, you probably think that my kids are biologically mine, right? Yeah, I have three. None of them have my DNA. Two oldest are Julie's from her first marriage. They're still my kids. The third and the youngest, we adopted from Russia when he was 12. He'll be 24 this year. He's still mine. I'm a father, but the label father that we assume that I have isn't necessarily the one that I could, that is there. There's more to it than just that. I'm going to do one more. I'm going to pick on my friend Joni. Now, if I went out and I put a label on Joni that said biker chick, you have an image of Joni as a biker chick, right? Leathers and all of those wonderful things. Probably riding behind somebody on a Harley holding on tight. That's not what I mean when I talk about Joni as a biker chick. Joni's got her own great bike that I like, and I got to ride on behind her. But we have those images, right? Thank you for letting me do that. We have those wonderful images of who we think we are based on those labels. And we miss things because we fail to see the complexity behind what is going on. They force us to see the surface of things versus getting underneath and finding out more. One of the words that I always struggle with when I think about this labeling piece is the label and word terrorist. Because a terrorist is labeled by the victim. And what we might see as something that's good might be labeled as a terroristic act by somebody else. One person's terrorist can be another person's hero. I think this idea of labeling and missing the, just seeing the surface pieces played out today in 1 Samuel with what goes on in the anointing of David. Samuel is called again to anoint a new king. Saul has been rejected by God. Now, Samuel's upset about this. He's not happy Because Samuel had been a judge and prophet for Israel. Now, context a little bit. Before Israel had a king, they had judges. These were the people who they would go to settle disputes. Who would be the leaders who would take them into battle and into war? And this was Samuel. And some of them were prophets who spoke God's word. This is Samuel. And Samuel expected that his sons would follow in his footsteps. They didn't. They were awful. They lied. They cheated. They took things from the people. They were not like Samuel, and God rejected them. So the people called to Samuel and said, "We want a king." And so Samuel was a part of selecting Saul as the first king of Israel. Lots were cast. Saul won. Lucky Saul. And so when God rejects Saul, Samuel has now had his sons and the king that he was a part of selecting rejected. And he's grieving and he's upset. And God is like, "Get over it. We've got more work to do. I have picked somebody to be my king. I need you to go anoint them." So Samuel goes to Bethlehem to see Jesse and meets with Jesse and his boys. And as he's there, the eldest of Jesse's sons comes out. He sees Eliab and goes, "Yes, this is the king. Look at him. He's handsome, he's tall, he's broad-shouldered. He's not me. This is what a king should look like." And God says, "No. We had tall, broad-shouldered, great warrior in Saul. It didn't work." God says to Samuel, "You have to get beyond that. I see differently than you do. The Lord sees the heart, whereas human beings see the surface." God sees beyond the appearances and has to remind Samuel to look beyond what he sees with his eyes and to look into what the heart of the individual might have. Now we know what happens. What next? The rest of the boys get paraded in front of Samuel, and Samuel goes, "No, no, 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 sorry. Jesse, do you have another?" "Yes, he's the smallest, youngest. He's out tending the sheep. Bring him." And we have David anointed as the king of Israel. This is God's anointed. In the Hebrew, this is God's Messiah. We know that word, don't we? David is God's chosen, God's anointed. He is one who follows after God's own heart. But we also know that David is not perfect. In the rest of David's story, we hear some really awful choices that David makes. But David is still the one that God has anointed, because God sees beyond the basics. God sees beyond all the horrible things that David does and sees David's heart that at its core loves God and loves others. God sees the complexity of who David is. God sees the complexity of who we are and focuses on that. God doesn't worry about the mistakes that we make. God looks to see if we follow God's heart. Do we love others? Do we love God? Do we care for one another? Is that our primary focus? Even though we might screw up and not do it sometimes, is that the primary focus of what we do and who we are? God sees the answers of our heart. God knows and understands all of who we are and chooses us because God sees beyond the label. What we have to work on is seeing as God sees. Oh, is that hard? We have to look at the world through God's eyes. We have to take the time to get to know the complexity of who someone is or who a group is, rather than looking at the label and thinking that we know exactly who they are. We do that all the time, though, don't we? Here is the label. This is who they are, and everybody who has got this label thinks the same way, acts the same way, does the same thing. Part of the reason our political system is not working the way it should at this point in time, because we've labeled everybody instead of talking and finding out about who they are. We need to go beyond that. We need to look at the heart of who these people are to find our sister and our brother and our mother, as Jesus talked about. We need to look at the mustard seed, little tiny mustard seed, and see the bush that it will become. For me, one of the most eye-opening experiences that I had in this whole part of labeling and getting to know someone and understanding the complexity of people came when I was a young kid. I was in middle schoolish age, and this was my second year in the school because we had moved every 4 years, and so I'm here in my second year in the school, and there was a guy there that he and I just didn't see eye to eye. Now, I've always been the smallest in just about everything that I've done. And that has ingrained in me, or at least it did as a kid. I've kind of grown out of it now. A deep-seated mean streak. Yeah, look at me. I'm mean. I'm horrible. But I did. As a kid, I had this horrible mean streak. And I also had to go out and prove to everybody that I wasn't just the smallest kid around. I was the big, tough guy. So this guy and I, we didn't see eye to eye. We really didn't see eye to eye. We made plans to physically get after it. Thankfully, the buses came and we didn't. But I didn't like him at all. It was horrible. We couldn't sit next to each other in class. We couldn't, I mean, it was just like, no, we can't do this. Now, where I grew up was a small town like Ruidoso, so you can imagine that I had him in a whole bunch of different classes. We had one middle school. So, and this was the way our schools were set up is we had elementary and then junior high was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. This was 6th grade that I wanted to take his head off. By the time we got to 8th grade, and I had spent time with him in choir, in gym class, and on the football team, this guy that I couldn't stand became my best friend. He and I did all sorts of wonderful things together. We hung out, we went to church, or we went to youth group things. He went to one church, I went to another. We did things together. We went to Boy Scout events together. We did all sorts of great things. And when I moved, again, every 4 years, have to move, we lost touch. But when we reconnected over Facebook some 20 years later, it was like not a day had passed. It's amazing sometimes when we get beyond the surface. I mean, this guy was a jerk. Okay, maybe I was the jerk. Make that argument. But when I got to know him, when I saw who he was and the complexity of that, I found somebody that I could love, care for, and want to be around forever. Unfortunately, I lost him this past fall. We have to learn to see as God sees, beyond the labels, beyond the noise that people tell us that this is what we're supposed to think about these people or this individual or this person. We need to get to know one another, because when we do, we learn to love and care for them in ways that I don't think any of us could ever imagine. Amen. May God bless you with new life. May Christ tend to you in grace, and the Holy Spirit guide your steps as you walk by faith now and forever. Amen.